With prophecy unfolding before our very eyes, America, Israel, and the tipping point of a new era, this is our Week in Review. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
How things going today, David?
Oh, we're doing well, feeling much better. I remember last time.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
Just ask questions. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you were a little bit under the weather. And, you know, it's the silliest thing. You know, every time you go on vacation, you always come back and you go, oh, Christ, I need a vacation from my vacation, you know? It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm trying to change that. I wanted to go and do absolutely nothing.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is our Week in Review, and we are going to do that today because there's a whole lot that happened this week, and there's a lot of prophecy involved in it as well, so we're going to get the Bible definitely involved as we always do. And to begin that, David, would you mind praying us into this episode of Last Christian?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. So, Father, as we are excited for you sending your son back in return of Jesus, we see more prophetic things happening at warp speed. So we just give you all the praise and glory for that. We thank you, Father, that this will find the seed that is to be planted here at the end of the age. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. And David, I'm going to go ahead and show everybody what we are going to be talking about today. And we're going to begin with the Middle East ceasefire and the prophetic pause. Then America's return to the center of global power. After that, in the second half of the show, we'll be talking about the domestic division and the spiritual battle within America. And then we'll end the show with the road ahead, the prophecy that is in motion right now today. So let's go ahead and begin this thing right now with the Middle East ceasefire and the prophetic pause. The Middle East entered a fragile and uneasy calm this week. After more than 2 years of bloodshed, Israel and Hamas agreed to what leaders are calling a final ceasefire. But the realities on the ground tell a more complex story, especially for those of us who know a true peace will not be achieved until a return of Christ. While the living Israeli hostages have been returned, Israel continues to demand the return of the remaining deceased hostages believed to have been executed or buried in secret locations by the Hamas terrorists inside of Gaza. Now, the terrorists have also not yet disarmed as required by the peace agreement, with President Trump making it clear they will disarm voluntarily or by force. Now, inside Gaza itself, the terrorists are now killing civilians that they claim aided the IDF as a means of maintaining their control. Power and water remain sporadic. Hospitals operating on emergency generators and disease outbreaks are spreading. That, again, according now to the United Nations, of course. Thousands have no shelter, and much of the northern strip is nothing but rubble. Humanitarian aid trucks are attempting to deliver aid, but many are claiming that the flow is a fraction of what is needed. Israel's government has declared that while guns may be silent, the war is not over. Security forces remain stationed at the perimeter, vowing to return if the ceasefire collapses. Across the region, Iran's proxies in Lebanon, Syria, and Yemen continue their low-level harassment, testing Israel's resolve and the patience of world powers. For Bible-believing Christians, the prophetic picture is unmistakable. Jerusalem remains the center of God's timetable. The Bible makes it clear that in the last days, nations will gather against Israel, and peace will come only when the Prince of Peace returns. Now, this new ceasefire may calm the noise of war for a short time, but in truth, the storm of war has only just begun, and I agree with that 100%. So let's talk about this ceasefire for a minute, David. This was a 20-point plan, and Hamas has done about 75% of point one. And by that, I mean they have released the living hostages. And if you saw that, you saw what bad shape that these people are in. Some of them couldn't even walk anymore. It's going to take them, you know, the rest of their lives. You know, they're going to be dealing with the trauma of all this stuff. But they still haven't returned all of the deceased hostages. They say that they've returned all of them, that they know where they're at. So what are your comments on all that?
Well, we've told everybody the whole time, and we'll continue to tell this, you know, Hamas is Islam, and they're going to lie. It's as simple as that. The devil's a liar and the father of lies, and that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So here they are lying again. They're not at all interested in any of these agreements and keeping them. The first thing they did out of the gate is start shooting people. It's like, excuse me, mm-hmm. you know, but Israel knew this. Israel knows all of them. So they're just going, okay, all right, let's see what happens. Let's watch, shall we? Mm-hmm. And, but again, the, you know, the idiots of the world, they're going to see this. They gave what, over 2000 prisoners in exchange for just 20.
Right.
And then they stopped fighting, and Hamas is still fighting. And now they're still going to blame Israel for all this. When Israel mm-hmm. did everything, which is beyond unreasonable, to stand up and to say, okay, Mr. Trump, let's see what happens. well, hopefully Mr. Trump realizes now that just like Bolton and Fauci, they're a bunch of liars. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then maybe we won't trust them anymore either. So I don't know what it's going to take for him to wake up, but Paula White ain't going to do it. So we just need to pray for him that, yeah, we, you know, okay, he's got good intentions and good hearts, but he's got a lot of maturing to do, let's say. And it's nothing about mean tweets. It's about who you trusting, and you know, you need to trust the Savior, and you're not going to do enough works to earn yourself into heaven, because those are some of the things he's has. And here we are. We're seeing it right out of the gate again. Hamas is not going to stop fighting. They're going to turn around and blame Israel for something else and start taking more hostages again. You just watch.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. One of the things we've talked about this before too. I don't trust Jared Kushner, and from my understanding, he is at the core of this agreement. He was very much involved in you know, the Steve Wiskoff or something like that as the supposed to be the number one negotiator, and then you got Kushner, and they're the ones that came up with this. Now I think that the Steve Wiskoff, I think he's got great intentions, probably a pretty good negotiator. I don't know. I mean, from looking at him and from listening to him, I would think maybe no, but. Anyway, he's not only in charge of the negotiations that are going on over there, he's also at the in the number one seat in the negotiation between Russia and the Ukraine, and he's also in the number one seat with the negotiation with the United States and China. Hmm. And it seems like there's another one too. In other words, he's in charge of too much, in my opinion. You know, I mean, you can only be a specialist in one field. I know enough about that. Okay, you can't be the Mr. Know-it-all in every single thing, and each one of these negotiations is different than the other. So I think that's a mistake. Number one, they asked President Trump this week if you know, this, now that you've made peace in Israel, does that get you into heaven? And he made a statement, David. He said, "I'm not going to heaven." Now, he said that, I think, in jest, but you know as well as I do, you know, there's a lot of truth in any fiction, and a lot of fiction in any truth, really. So I'm wondering if maybe he is having second thoughts about certain things. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm taking too much in.
Maybe he's probably, if he's got all those... he's got a handful of wackadoodles around him, like I said, including and especially Paula White, who's NAR and Seven Mountains and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's, the issue there is he doesn't understand. He thinks he's got to earn his salvation.
Right.
So he's trying to figure out, oh, can I do enough to earn my way in? Mm-hmm. And that's where he's at. And it probably came from that. it either came from that or he's a devil in disguise. So you got to figure out which way. But in either case, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was saved. So we could pray for him as well.
Well, you know, I think the president wants to be a Christian. I just don't know that he is a Christian, you know, and there's a big difference between the two.
I doubt it yet, but I think, you know, at least he's aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we just say, well, Father, let's pray right now. Father, we ask you to reveal to Donald Trump that your pure plan of salvation, know that he can be truly saved and that he would be useful in your kingdom. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and we do pray not only for President Trump, but we did the same thing, believe it or not, for President Biden, President Obama.
Well, which Biden, though?
Well, yeah.
I guess all of them.
And
the auto pen.
President Auto Pen. I think that's what he's going to be remembered for, is the auto pen for sure. Yeah. But, we've got to look at this peace plan thing, and I don't know how long it's going to be before they start calling for, are you going to actually disarm or not? And President Trump made it clear they're going to disarm whether they want to or not.
Yeah.
So what are your feelings on that, David? I've got some pretty strong feelings here, but I want to hear yours first. Do you believe that the United States is going to get involved, or do you think that they're just going to say, okay, Israel, go take care of it?
Well, the wiser approach is to let Israel do it, because they're the one with skin in the game. Whereas even in our military, there's a handful of anti-Semites. Mm-hmm. In Israel, they know firsthand about Hamas. They've been dealing with it for thousands of years.
Right.
They just change the name every once in a while, but it's the same people. So they know all the better, and they've got operatives in the middle of it all. They know what's going on 1,000 times more than we do. But that's one thing about Trump, is you don't play, you
right.
know?
And he
said,
hey,
this is the agreement, and that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and I admire that strength about him. He's like, nope, this is what we're going to do. And he'll call you out in a heartbeat. I mean, I've seen him call out friends and stuff like that. He's not going to pull any punches. So that part is good. And if I were to guess, I would say he's just going to take his hands off and say, okay, Israel, they broke the agreement. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm hoping that that's what they do, because the other, you know, and again, I hope that's what he's doing, because if he sends troops over there, I'm just going to say it, they will, the Republicans would lose the midterm elections. They would, you know, the Congress would flip to the Democrats. It would be all about impeachment and all this kind of stuff. It was all, you know, all kinds of investigations and everything to completely destroy the government. In 2028, the Democrats would win, and there we go. We're out. We push Israel out of the game, and, you know, all hell breaks loose. That's my prediction if we put troops on the ground in Gaza. If we don't, I think Israel can take care of the situation pretty quickly.
And they would have already
if
people didn't stop them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, before we move on to the next topic here, I do want to remind everybody that if you're looking for a meaningful way to stand for Christian values in a world that is drifting further from the truth, I want to let you know the Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep this message alive. So if you can donate directly at lastchristian.net, every gift does matter, no matter the size, and every donation is fully tax deductible. You can also help us another way simply by purchasing the everyday products that you already use from our trusted partners, and in that way you can support our ministry. All of this is available for you there at www.lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. And through our partnership, by the way, with Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can actually register for courses that will take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save up to 45% through the link that is exclusive on our site. So now all of this is quality products and resources that you'll love, and every purchase through our links does definitely fuel this ministry. So be sure and visit lastchristian.net today. Stand with us, pray with us, support the mission, because the time is very, very short, as we know, and the truth must be told. All right, David, moving on here to the second topic of the day, if I can get it here. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is America's return to the center of global power. Now, in Washington, President Trump framed the Middle East ceasefire as a triumph of American diplomacy, calling it the dawn of a new peace. This week, he convened regional leaders to outline a post-war framework with U.S. oversight of reconstruction and future security arrangements. His message was clear. America is back in command. Now, behind the scenes, you've got major defense and economic deals unfolding. Saudi Arabia and several of the Gulf states are reportedly negotiating new cooperative security agreements with Washington, while Iran denounced them as betrayals of the Islamic world. Israel's leadership, emboldened by the peace framework, praised the U.S. for standing firm while warning that they will act alone if the ceasefire fails. Within the White House, advisors celebrated what they see as proof that America can achieve stability through strength, not appeasement. The U.S. military posture in the region has shifted from offensive deterrence to strategic readiness, a quiet but deliberate sign that the administration intends to maintain control of events rather than simply react to them. Now, from a prophetic viewpoint, this is the continued alignment of nations foretold in Scripture, and we must understand that America's renewed dominance is not permanent. God is allowing the United States to play its final role as protector of Israel and counterweight to the global tyranny before the rise of the one world system foretold in Revelation. So let's start from the bottom up here. Do you believe that America is the, playing this final role with Israel before the one world government shows up?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the lions, the young lions, talks about in the seas on the oceans. There's a couple things that could possibly allude to the United States in there, but it's clear that every nation eventually is going to be coming against Israel.
Right.
Because it's only about Jesus. So, and people think, oh, America's wonderful, and, you know, it's... It was used by God, definitely. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, look at all the stuff that we have here. We're the, you know, number one abortion place mm-hmm. in the world, number one porn place in the world, mm-hmm. number one drug users in the world,
right.
The pharmakia. So it's not really the utopia we think. Now, we have to pray for America, and we have to lift it up. We live here. This is our country. We want to do the very best we can and make it the best country mm-hmm. that's out there. But let's be crystal clear. It is not the kingdom of God.
No.
Okay. And when Jesus returns, that is the kingdom of God, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And that's that. And we as Christians, you know, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's as simple as that. Our kingdom is when Jesus returns and he's our king. So that's borderline idolatry the other way around. So being a, you know, American supporter, hey, we're here for this is one thing, but to bring it to a level of, hey, this is the end all do all, that could be dangerous. Just like anything else, you could, you know, love your spouse, which is required, but if when you love your spouse more than God, it's a problem.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, now, you know, they are, this is supposed to be the great achievement of America. You know, what is funny to me, I hear this, the permanent ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the President Trump has achieved something. I've heard it overblown, I guess is the best way to say this. You know, 3,000 years, these people have been fighting for 3,000 years, and now Trump has brought permanent peace to to the region. Okay.
Except the next day they were shooting people.
Right. You know, Hamas is already in there and they're killing people. They're killing Palestinian civilians that they say were collaborating with the IDF. That was the big thing. You know, we'll have more on that in a minute. But anyway, they're killing people to be killing people to really say nothing's changed. We're in charge. Mm-hmm. You've got to do what we say. You saw what we did to Junior over here, you know, and we'll do that to you too if you don't bow down to us and realize that we're still in charge. That's really all it is. You know, they're just picking people at random. Maybe people they don't like. I don't think they would kill anybody that they think is going to help them. But this isn't about finding out who's with Israel. They got no clue. Israel's too good for that, okay? But they're just killing people to maintain control. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's all they want to do. They're, they're like, you know, the little imp. And they just want to, I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. It's my turn now. It's my turn. How come I wasn't elected? It's my turn. Yeah. It's the same story.
Yeah.
Here we are. They're a bunch of clowns and they're going to lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times are we going to say this? You know, they're going to lie. They're going to kill people until
That's
Jesus returns.
Do.
And destroys everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As simple as that. There's going to be a handful left at the end of the tribulation. In the meantime, you know, this permanent peace and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
It will, you know, everyone will come up and, oh, look, it's permanent. Oh, look, it's a new shift. Oh, America's in charge. Oh, lasting peace. He said sudden destruction. And it's going to be quick. And most people don't realize that. We think it's going to be this long thing during the tribulation period. No, it's quick. It's, this happens, boom. Then this happens, then this happens, and this happens in a matter of days sometimes. So it's not going to take a long time. So even if we think America's in dominance again, it could literally change overnight.
Now, one thing, you know, Trump says, I don't play. He actually said it exactly that way to Hamas as far as, you know, you're going to they know I don't play. That was his exact words. So what they've got to be looking at right now, David, and this is a completely different area, but what they've got to be looking at is what's going on. Is it Argentina? I can't remember.
If it's Venezuela?
Venezuela, yeah, where they're sending all these drug ships, right? And they've got, you know, they're loaded down with cocaine and all that stuff. And so we've got drones flying up, and there was there's one.
Oh, and bombers and warships,
and they just pop them, you know, and they're gone, they're destroyed, and you know, people say, okay, well, that's just, you know, this one boat. Yeah, it's one boat loaded with millions and millions and millions dollars worth of drugs, which is what fuels their country, and they're watching that stuff, I'm sure, and Hamas is going, okay, how do we get around this? Because he really doesn't play. And he's really not Joe Biden. And he doesn't just say don't. He makes you don't. You know?
He makes you don't. Yeah. So, and then they're like, oh, $25 million? No. $50 million bounty on the president of Venezuela, Maduro.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine that? A president of a big nation like that. We're like, no, you're a terrorist and we're going to take you out.
Right.
Who's going to say anything about it?
It was Jimmy Carter years ago in his administration. He said that we couldn't go after the heads of state anymore. Up until then, it was, you know, it was okay. I don't remember us going after anybody. Maybe Castro, but Carter said we wouldn't do that anymore. And I think Trump has reversed that policy. What do you think?
Clearly. who made that rule? It's not a rule,
right? Well, from what I understand, this Venezuelan president, what is it, Maduro?
Yeah, Maduro. Yeah.
He sent something to through diplomatic channels, saying that, you know, they would stop this drug stuff. They would, you know, start doing things differently or whatever, and it still wasn't enough, and the United States said no, which has to have driven him nuts, because any other president probably would have agreed to it and maybe given him a few billion dollars as a reward, right?
Yep. Yep. And he's like, nah, you lied. Too bad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, again, now in the second half of the show, it's going to even get better. What we're going to talk about the domestic division, the spiritual battle that's going on here in the United States, and that's really big. And then we're also going to talk about the road ahead, what we're going to look at in the coming days. But before we get there, David, why don't you tell people about your new show? Shadows of a Greater Reality, because it's
going along swimmingly.
Yeah, it's doing really, really well. Tell people about that.
Yeah, I know. I had Nestor on here earlier, and he's going to come back and talk about those weird things with us. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Our main site there is whoistruth.com. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually email questions and everything, shadows@whoistruth.com. And we just recorded a show, which we're going to put up next week. And it's about the bullet points of all the weird stuff we want to talk about. Yeah. Like Planck time and, quantum dynamics and just fun things like that. And how the universe really looks and how it's folded over. And basically, we literally are a shadow. We live in a big hologram. Mm-hmm. And this is the church just doesn't talk about this. They're clueless. Absolutely clueless to the spiritual realm. And do you realize that there's actually dominions and principalities and powers? Paul wasn't just, making up a random metaphor. There literally is principalities and powers that are in charge. And Jesus, when he died and rose from the dead, he took dominion back. Now he's over all of these things, which is what we see in Pentecost. Now everybody from all around the world can come together and speak one language again. So it's the reversal of Mount Hermon, and the Tower of Babel, where he split everybody up because he says, oh, you don't want to listen. Now all these foreign gods will have dominions over the different area, the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece, etc. So he brought that all back together, and that's kind of the things we talk about, aliens and Bigfoot. Those are the fun little fringe stuff, but there's more important, much deeper things too. In the meantime, if you haven't received Jesus as your savior, it is time. And we'll talk about more about how that works in the second half. In the meantime, Lord willing, we will see you in the second half of the show, and we'll be right back. Bye.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. David, you were talking about Nestor before we went into the break, and Nestor was on a recent show. You guys can go to lastchristian.net and you can find that there. I can't remember the name of the show, but you will see it's got something to do with Shadows, which is the name of their show. And he did an excellent job. And Nestor is also going to be joining us about once a month now on the show, and we look forward to that. We're going to delve into a little bit more of those topics that the church just is afraid to cover, David. they're legitimate topics of discussion, and they're things that Christians, I think, need to know about, but that churches are afraid to talk about, you know?
Yeah, so, Satan will have us, you know, he tries to silence people. And it comes from a number of things. Sometimes some people just don't know, and they just don't want to look stupid, you know? So all they know is, oh, you know, Jesus was nice, and you need to be nice too, and receive him instead of the other guys, and that's it. And it's kind of their doctrine. We're this and we do that, and well, where's the truth? How does he get that from the Bible? Oh, it's just the way we do it, you know.
Right,
it's like a big club.
There's some that are actually
The other side of that too is they 100% don't believe, because when you go to seminary, a lot of them teach just a bunch of garbage. Oh, you can't read those extra books. Oh, you can't read this. They don't teach anything about Israel, you know. And they're like, it's the Sons of Seth theory. It wasn't, you know, there was no giants, and they teach all this lame, you know, amillennial nonsense. So they're just weak. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers, we call them.
Well, I know, Nestor, we got into things like ghosts and haunted houses, and we barely touched on UFOs. You know, and these are subjects that you're not ever going to hear about in church, but believe it or not, if you pay attention, these are subjects that you need to know about. So actually, David, I avoided shows on the occult, anything to do with it, you know, anything. I just avoided it. It's like, oh, you know, this is taboo, we shouldn't talk about it. But the thing is that after talking to Nestor, I'm not afraid to view it anymore. What I will do is I will view it from a Christian lens, and then after viewing that, then if there's a question, I'm going to go to Nestor, because you know, he is really up to speed on this stuff, and I think it would be great, because of the fact that the questions I'm going to have are questions that a bunch of people out there are going to have. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to educate Christians as to what they should take from this stuff, because you know, the secular world is going to tell you one thing. Okay, well, let's balance that out. Let's talk about it from the way that God wants us to view it. I think it's going to be a wonderful addition to our show. So,
100%. We need to expose the darkness, and hiding from it is not going to expose it in any way. Here's what happens. We all, don't talk about it. Well, what's the first thing a kid does when he say don't talk about it?
He's
going to go find someone else who wants to talk about it.
Absolutely. You know? Every time.
And then that's not going to be a good person that talks about, oh yeah, look at the power you can have if you say three Hail Mary or this and that, or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Right.
You do all these things, you can have all this power. And that's what they're looking for. You gotta say, hey, yeah, they pretend to have power, but look where the real power is, and that's in Jesus Christ. He says he gives you authority over those things. Oh, I want that one instead. And that's what you have to teach people, not hide from it.
I agree. All right, well, let's get back to this show, and we're going to look here at the domestic division and the spiritual battle within America. So while the international headlines are praising this ceasefire, America's internal divisions deepened. In Congress, you got the Democrats in the Senate that are continuing this unnecessary government shutdown for a third week as they call for health care and other benefits for illegal aliens. The cultural and moral fabric of the nation continues to unravel as schools push godless ideologies and cities face record crime and homelessness. Now, protests have erupted in several U.S. cities this week, some in support of Gaza, others condemning the anti-Israel rhetoric. Tensions between faith communities are rising, and law enforcement's been forced to protect synagogues and churches from escalating threats. The administration called for unity, but many Americans feel the divide between the righteous and the rebellious are growing sharper by the day. Now, in prophetic context, the Bible tells us that in the last days, evil will be called good and good will be called evil. And what we see in America is not merely political. It's a spiritual war for the nation's soul. As globalism rises and traditional values crumble, the church must stand firm in truth. Now, the Lord is separating light from darkness, wheat from tares, and truth from deception. So, number one, let's talk about this government shutdown thing, okay? This is ridiculous, okay? Something that they voted for several times. You know, let's kick the can down the road. That's basically what it is, right? Kick the can down the road. The Democrats say, no, we can't do that. We did it like four or five times under Biden. We did it once under Trump. And, you know, I'm in all kinds of trouble, talking about Chuck Schumer. I'm in all kinds of trouble because AOC is going to primary me if I let the government open. So I've got to keep it shut to keep her shut, right? That's all it is. So these folks are yours, David. They're in New York. They're not Texans. So you get free shot at these two guys, or one guy, one.
Yeah, nobody likes either one of them here. Matter of fact, I remember Big Bird, De Blasio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, De Blasio.
So he was here.
I thought you were talking about Sesame Street. Okay.
Yeah, no, De Blasio. We everyone calls him Big Bird here when he was in. Okay. Because he is really tall and doofy. So, Big Bird. And so I remember being a reporter, kind of, if you would, for one of the Veterans Day parades around here. Mm-hmm. And they were all there. Big Bird was there. And I looked at him and was like, holy crap, he is tall. Big doofus. And all the firemen and all the veterans, you know, he came by and they just kind of turned their back on him. They're like, nope, we're not talking to that guy.
Yeah, I kind of remember something like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and they did that. So that was fun and exciting. And then Schumer was there and everyone was laughing at him, you know. And it was the running joke. It's like, where's the most dangerous place in the world? And that's between Schumer and a camera. That's all he wanted. So I was like, hey, let me get a picture with you, Mr. Schumer. And I gave him the rabbit ears behind it. And the click took the picture. He didn't even know. He's a clown. He's just happy someone wanted a picture with him.
Oh, man.
And everybody thinks they're idiots here. I don't think there's anyone that actually voted for them unless they were paid. But that's the way it is over here. And that's what they're trying to do with Mandami. But Sliwa is making a huge ruckus, you know, too big to overcome, kind of like what Trump did, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's been, you know, Sliwa has been opening up offices in every single neighborhood.
Okay.
You know? Okay. As opposed to, you know, Cuomo just thinks, oh, well, it's my father's name. I can get in. I was the governor of the state. Yeah, but you were resigned in disgrace because of your adultery and killing everybody.
How about the
And
debate,
now all of a sudden
David?
He thinks he's going to run for mayor. The Democrats don't want him in.
How about the debate? The three of them had a debate there in New York, I believe, this week. And
yeah.
They said partisan debate ever, you know. They really they put Sliwa, I think that's how you say his name.
Yep.
Just battered him, you know, but they let the other two just kind of have free reign. I didn't see the debate, but how did it go? I mean, was it really that?
Yeah, because they, you know, the elites, they want to put in Mondami.
Right.
It's as simple as that. He's you know, he's Obama squared. Mm-hmm. So he came out of nowhere. No one knows who he is. I can tell you this: there's not one cop who likes him because he wants to defund the police.
Right.
There's not one fireman who likes him. There's not one union people who want it. There's not one Democrat council that likes him here.
But they've all got to support him.
Yeah. There's the Queens that, like, I'm here, the Queens Democratic, you know, commission they have, there's like, there's no way we can support either one of those. So they're all voting for Sliwa because Sliwa is not a politician. He's running as a Republican.
Does he have a chance?
Oh, 100%. Okay. Yeah. Everybody I talk to wants to vote for Sliwa and Democrats or anything because he doesn't run on the Republican platform. He runs on, I'm a New Yorker and I'm going to fix this place.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's already done it for 40 years voluntarily.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what the people see.
That's like,
and you have,
angels.
He's huge, absolutely huge, because normal Republicans won't go to the Black and Hispanic communities here in the city. And they absolutely love him. They have parties when he comes by. They go dancing in the street, and they're all wearing their Sliwa shirts. He says, he's my boy. He kept me safe on the subway. I remember him, you know, and they just want a normal life, too. And no one treats them right here because they think, oh, the elites, I'll just go over here. And even Mondami now, he's like, we just want to tax the white neighborhoods more. It's like, excuse me, isn't that racist?
No.
So whites don't like him either.
Well,
nobody likes him. So the only reason to get in is if somehow they, you know, manipulate the vote and they're stealing the elections.
Yeah, that could
honestly
happen.
I don't know anyone who does not want to vote for Sliwa.
So how long do you think this government shutdown is going to go on?
The shutdown? I don't know, long enough for Trump to fire everybody he needs to fire.
Yeah, courts are already stepping in on that, you know, as they always do. And then they get are these judges just, are they brain dead? Because, they step in and they say, you can't do that. And then on appeal, you can do that. You know, and they lose every single time. I think he's something like 20-0 or something like that.
Yeah.
on
it's
these.
It's a delay tactic. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's stupid.
They know that they're overstepping their bounds.
Yeah,
they know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's happening though?
What's that?
I mean, he's doing that to expose them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's like, okay, let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still doing it anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do that. Okay. And he goes and does it anyway. Sounds great. What are you gonna do about it?
He learned a heck of a lot from his first term, and he spent 4 years trying to figure out the way to do things if he was able to win again.
Yeah, and at this point, he doesn't care. What is he, 80?
Yeah, I heard Eric Trump on one of the shows, and he said that they actually had a family meeting, maybe it wasn't a family meeting, but he and his father were speaking together, and he said, you know, Dad, we're either going to go to the White House or the Big House, one or the other. You know, it's this whole thing, because they started filing suits against him or charges against him 2 weeks, count them, 2 weeks after he announced he was going to run for president again. So, you know, it was all, you know, they did everything they possibly could. They threw everything at him, and they were ready. I think they would have put a death penalty case on him if they could have. You know, they were doing.
Yeah. Well, he's going to expose everybody.
Maybe they did put a death penalty case on him. Maybe they paid for the assassination attempts. I'm not saying they did, people. Don't get mad at me and write me about it. I've just said maybe. Okay. So let's look now, David, at this last one here, the road ahead.
All right.
Okay. This is Prophecy in Motion. Looking ahead, the coming weeks are going to test both Israel and America. the ceasefire is almost guaranteed to collapse, as Hamas will most likely fail to comply with the terms of the peace agreement. Iran is expected to test regional patience with their proxy aggression, and Russia's expected summit with the U.S. may reshape alliances far beyond the Middle East. China continuing to build influence quietly in the background, watching and waiting for the next opening. Domestically here, even if the United States government reopens, the U.S. faces economic and political turbulence as the 2026 election cycle begins. Oh, Lord. Every policy decision, from the border to foreign aid, will shape America's standing and its spiritual destiny. Prophetically, we see global leaders seeking unity without God, technological control replacing truth, and spiritual deception increasing almost daily. We as Christians must remain watchful and ready, remembering that when the world cries peace and safety, suddenly destruction will come, and those of us sealed in Christ are soon to be called home. So what do you see ahead here, putting on your little tin cap, as far as... I think we kind of discussed it there in the first part of the show, what we expect in Gaza. And I think we both agree that, you know, it's just a matter of time before that falls apart. And hopefully we don't put boots on the ground, but we just let Israel take over. But what do you see ahead here as far as the other stuff going on, like Russia and the Ukraine? Let's start with that one.
Yeah, that's remarkably silent these days, but Russia's going to be a major player in all of this as well. Right. I think the whole Ukraine event is basically the pilot light that's staying on in the back for when the great explosion's about to come. Because, you know, Russia is going to be drawn into it. It's going to be sucked down into it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Most likely because of the oil that's down there, and they're going to need it. And, you know, everyone's coming against Putin, you know, not without reason, but they're coming against him. So he's going to have to do something. He's not going to go down, just lay down.
No.
Yes. I mean, we see all these things that we always talk about every day. The big thing, folks, is you got to realize that, you know, the reason we tell you this is not so you can get scared. Oh, the world's falling apart. What can I do to fix it? You're not going to fix it. Mm-hmm. It's already been written, which means it already happened. The only thing you can do is to receive Christ, you know, for yourself. And by that, you know, basically he paid off your sin debt, you know, to enter into that agreement. He says, hey, here's a cup. Drink that cup, the Lord's Supper. And that's accepting his covenant, his contract, to pay off your sin debt. And then the other side of that, now there's terms and conditions, is you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to do these things. And loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength is not, you know, just, oh, well, I said the prayer, so that means I'm saved, so let me just go out and do what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares? You know, we talked about this on the Bible teaching part. Rebecca, you know, she immediately went to work and she watered 10 camels.
Yeah. You know? Right.
That's a lot of work. And, you know, we're entering into this contract and Jesus paid off every last bit of debt you've ever had and you don't have to go to hell. You probably say, you know what? Let me give my entire life to him because he bought you anyway. Yeah. If you agree to that, he owns you, technically.
That's right.
That's what I see is these things. Jesus is coming. You need to be on his side because there's going to be that one day when it all changes.
Right.
Okay? In an instant, it's all going to change, and you want to make sure you do it now so when that day does come, you won't be going, oh, crap, I just missed it 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just, it's too late at that point.
Yeah. And one point I really want to make here is that you can't be an Easter and Christmas Christian. You know, going to church over the years, I've always, and I'm no longer amazed by it. I expect it. Every Easter service, every Christmas service, you have overflow crowds in the church. And most, a lot of churches will even go so far as to add an additional service to their schedule on those particular dates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that it's bad for you to go to church on Easter or Christmas or to avoid it. I'm saying that if you are really going to dedicate yourself to the Lord, if you're a true Christian, you're going to go more than on Christmas and Easter. Okay, there's a lot of people that just show up on those days and say, okay, I checked that box. I went on Easter. I'm good for another year. You know, that's not how it works. You know, if you are truly accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, number one, you're going to be opening your Bible, okay? And you're going to begin a true personal relationship with Christ. You're also going to want to associate with other Christians. Now, really clear here. If you are a disabled person, elderly person, whatever, where you can't physically go to church, okay, the Lord understands that. But if you're listening to me right now, you got internet, okay, or you've got a radio, you've got something where you can tune in and at least be a part of a service. It's important to spend time with other Christians. David and I spend time together, not just on the show, but, you know, talking to each other during the week. I mean, that's Christian relationships, and it's something that you need. Am I overblowing this or putting it in the wrong perspective, David, or what?
I mean, today our idea of, you know, fellowship is, you know, we go to that particular church on Sundays and sometimes Saturdays. It really doesn't matter when their service is. It's, you know, Sabbath is still Saturday, but Sunday is a day of celebration. So if you want to go to church on Sunday, that's fine. But it's more about the fellowship. You know, the original church was all home groups, and they would meet regularly once a week or so, and then they'd get together and they'd praise the Lord. Some of them met every day.
Right.
They'd come and then they'd eat supper, and that was their song. Hey, let's eat again, reminding ourselves every single day of the wedding supper that Jesus said he's going to return. So it's about fellowship, and whatever that looks like to you, it's staying within the fellowship, not necessarily our American rendition of a church with a building and you have to go there every week.
Yeah.
'Cause like we have a men's group and we meet regularly. That could be church for somebody. It's a regular gathering of believers to sharpen each other, if you would.
What if, I can't remember. It, doesn't it say somewhere when two or more are gathered in my name, something?
Yeah,
like
there
that.
He is.
Yeah. So you know, it doesn't take going and, you know, 400 people. But my point is that you can't just be a Christian one day a year and expect that to you know, to cover
exactly.
You know, you need more. You need more than that.
Yeah, because you're not a Christian at that point.
I remember you were talking about some people meeting every day. When I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, for real, not as I did as a little kid, but, you know, when I really, truly accepted Christ and got to go into church, I would actually say, wow, I wish we had church every day. I'm so, you know, I was just so fired up. I was so, so fired up, you know, and I wish I could say that I still feel that way, you know, where the same super excitement. You know, I'm not saying I love the Lord any less than I did, but, you know, over time it's like, okay, you know, and I don't even want to make it sound like it was routine, because it wasn't. It was just, you know, I went, you know, it wasn't like a routine. It was just something I loved doing. But the
well,
everyday
thing still could be a routine though.
Yeah. Okay. But before we
even
get
if
out
you
of
love
here,
it. I love my routine.
Before we get out of here, I've got to discuss one other thing
that
I saw this week, and that was Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if you've seen this or not. It was probably the funniest thing that I have seen in quite some time. She was walking along, I'm not sure where, I think it was outside of the Capitol, and there was a reporter behind her, and this reporter was yelling questions at her, and she said, the question was something like, why did you not send troops into, on January 6th, you were told about it in advance, you know, and why didn't you send these troops? And she was just like over and over and over again, just screaming at Nancy Pelosi from behind her. And Pelosi stopped. Mm-hmm. She spun around. She pointed at this reporter and she said, shut up. Just shut up. You're asking me questions like you're a legitimate reporter, and spun around again and ran off. She almost fell over when she spun around the second time to run away, you know, but I had never seen her act like that ever before. It's like, okay, we've unmasked you. Okay. We have proven that you were at the bottom of this stuff, and now Nancy can't handle it. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Did you ever see that, David? Did you see that interaction?
But I've heard that, you know, that she is like that. You know, normally it's just she's really nice for the cameras, and I guess she's just getting old and cracked, you know, and cracked while on camera this time. Which is great. I would just keep doing it. I would do it again just to watch her crack again. Shut up. Now I'm going to say it more.
I have never, ever seen her lose it like that before. So, I just thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. Okay. Now, we've covered a heck of a lot here. But, you know, we do have those 2026 elections coming up. Wow. I mean, you know, as soon as one election is over, we're already into the next cycle.
Yeah, it's bread and circus. They just want to keep everybody occupied and something to talk about so they don't see that the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor reserve, and they're stealing all our money.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, the government's shutdown is still going on as we release this. So, hopefully it's not impacting anybody out there. I don't think it really is.
Nah, it really isn't.
Trump said that he's going to pay our troops. And believe it or not, the Democrats are even against that. You know, they don't think he should take funds.
Yeah, he could say, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, blessings for everyone. Yeah, we're against that.
It's amazing.
What's $5,000 going to do?
Yeah. But don't lose focus. You know, all this stuff is temporary. It's going to go away, but your eternity is very important, and you need to accept Jesus Christ while you still have that opportunity. And it would be better to do it before the rapture of the church. And if that doesn't happen before next time, we'll see you then. Good night.
You've been listening to our Week in Review, Prophetic Unfolding, America, Israel, and the Tipping Point of a New Era. Thank you for joining us as we connect today's breaking headlines with the timeless truths of God's Word, reminding believers that what's happening across our world isn't coincidence, it's prophecy being fulfilled. If this program has encouraged or challenged you, please visit lastchristian.net to hear past episodes, support our mission, and stand with believers around the world for biblical truth in these final days. Remember, The Last Christian is 100% listener-supported, made possible only through your prayers and faithful giving. Every gift helps us continue sharing the message of salvation and preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. Be sure and join us each evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for another episode of The Last Christian Radio Show. Until next time, remember, the unfiltered and censored truth starts here.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom and heart-stirring teaching. because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.